This is a Florida panther, a secretive and elusive predator found only in the most remote natural areas of Florida. It is now the state animal and one of the most endangered mammals in the world. Mountain lions, Felis concolor, once ranged over much of the United States, north into Canada, southward through Mexico, Central and South America, to Patagonia. The Florida panther belongs to the subspecies Coryi, one of 30 subspecies of mountain lions presently recognized. Mountain lions no longer occur in most of the eastern U.S. and have been eliminated or greatly reduced in many other parts of their former range in this country. In earlier times, the panther was widely distributed in the southeastern United States. Now, however, it is confined almost entirely to the Big Cypress and Everglades regions of the Lower Peninsula of Florida. It is described as a medium-sized, relatively dark panther with short and rather stiff coat. In comparison with other subspecies, it has noticeably long limbs and small feet and is a rich rust color. Chris Belden, biologist with the Game and Freshwater Fish Commission, describes some of the other characteristics often found on the Florida panther.
Florida panther is recognized by the white flecks on the neck and the shoulders. It's got a whorl on the back, a cowlick. You can see it right here where the hair actually runs in a circle or in the opposite direction in the middle of the back. They also have a crook in the very end of the tail. The last tail vertebra has a 90-degree angle in it. They're very dark colored, much darker than western cougars. They have a copper-colored ridge that runs down the middle of the back, and the stomach is a lot grayer than a western mountain lion, which is almost solid white underneath.
A mature male Florida panther weighs from 100 to 150 pounds, measures nearly 7 feet from nose to tip of tail, and has a height at the shoulder of from 24 to 28 inches. The female is somewhat smaller, averaging from 60 to 80 pounds and measuring about 6 feet from tip to tip. Like other cats, the panther is a meat eater. The white-tailed deer is the mainstay of its diet, although hogs and a variety of other animals may be taken. It appears that the Florida panther is a relatively long-lived animal in the wild. However, there are little data available on the matter. Using tooth wear as an indicator, the oldest specimens of animals thus far handled by commissioned biologists were estimated to be 12 years. The peak of the mating season is thought to be January and February. The female may take more than one mate and produces a litter of 1 to 4 kittens every other year. One of the panther's major problems through history, in addition to man's destruction of its habitat, is man's persecution of this large cat as a predator. Due to concern over the plight of the panther in Florida, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service established a Florida panther recovery team in mid-1976 to prepare a plan for recovery of the panther. After finalizing the plan in 1981, the team was disbanded. The Florida Panther Interagency Committee was soon formed to maintain and coordinate implementation of the plan. The objective of the Commission's Panther Project is to prevent the extinction of the Florida panther and to reestablish other populations in as much of the former range as possible. The first problem to be faced in formulating management plans was to obtain information regarding the current status and distribution of the animal. The logical approach to the matter involved field searches for recognizable signs, such as tracks or scrapes, which are made when panthers rake small mounds of dirt and debris into piles, which are then urinated and defecated upon and serve as territorial markers. Scats, which also provide dietary information, and kills are other indicators of a panther's presence. A Florida Panther Clearinghouse was established to receive and investigate reports of possible panther occurrences. Panther tracks can be one of the most useful forms of evidence. Thus far, more than 3,000 reports from all parts of the state have been received by the clearinghouse. In most cases, the tracks and other signs reported turned out to be those of dogs, bobcats, bears, and even raccoons, and other seemingly unlikely candidates, such as alligators. Tracks made by large dogs are frequently mistaken for panthers. The panther and dog tracks differ primarily in the number of lobes on the heel pads. Panthers and other cats have 3 lobes, while dogs have only 2. The track of the panther can be distinguished from that of other cats primarily by its size. Even panther kittens make larger tracks than most bobcats. Frequently, reports are made of black panthers in Florida. This, unfortunately, is due to one of those time-honored folktales that are passed on.
There's absolutely no truth to these stories. The misconception about black panthers comes from the fact that the black leopard, which most people see in zoos, comic books, and cartoons, is sometimes called a panther. Whereas our panther is actually a subspecies of mountain lion and is the same color as a deer.
Most confirmed Florida panther reports received thus far have been south of Lake Okeechobee, primarily in the Fakahatchee Strand, Big Cypress National Preserve, and the Everglades National Park. Limited sign has also been found as far north as Glades County and as far east as Palm Beach County. Most recently, their sign had been documented sporadically along the St. John's River drainage. The panther is such an elusive and secretive animal that it is seldom seen even when diligently sought. Biologists worked 4 years in the South Florida panther range without ever catching a glimpse of one, although regularly finding sign of the animal. A professional panther hunter and his dogs were called from Texas to capture the first panther. Belden and the other project workers finally had a first-hand look at the subject of their research efforts. That first animal, and many others captured since, have been fitted with radio-equipped collars and released. This phase of the program has revealed a great deal of information that could hardly have been gained in any other way. Each panther's collar-mounted radio transmitter sends out a signal of a different radio frequency, so individual animals can be identified. Biologists fly the panther country in a light airplane, picking up the radio signals of each instrumented panther and plotting them on a map. This is done at least 3 days each week. The result is an accurate plotting of each animal's range and their movements by season within those areas, as well as their interaction with one another. Some facts that have emerged thus far show that a panther requires from 40 to sometimes more than 200 miles of territory. Females occupy smaller territories than males, and animals in the more open country of the Raccoon Point area of the Big Cypress appear to occupy a larger range than those living in heavier cover. An individual may travel from 15 to 20 miles in a 24-hour period, or sometimes remain for a week or more in one relatively small area. These movement patterns are undoubtedly a function of both territorial occupancy and hunting for prey. Portions of some panther territories overlap, but it is seldom that two panthers are observed together other than during the breeding season. Such details are basic in formulating a workable management plan. The Florida panther is a capable swimmer, readily crossing canals and sloughs and ranging far into the Everglades. Even during periods of high water, it apparently is not inconvenienced, but sloshes about its usual range rather than seeking higher ground as the deer and other wildlife that travel less extensively do. On the basis of the information gathered thus far, and considering their habitat preferences and requirements, biologists estimate that there are only a few dozen Florida panthers remaining in the state. This may sound like an insignificant number, but it represents a viable population that probably is close to what the available habitat will support. Much of the habitat that was once suitable for this big cat is now altered and occupied by man. With a population of this size, any mortality is of greater significance than it would be in the case of more numerous species. With Highway 84, Alligator Alley, shown in yellow, cutting from east to west across the remaining panther habitat, and State Highway 29, indicated in red, running north and south through the area, the potential for road kills poses a threat to the continued well-being of the species. More than a dozen panthers have been struck by motor vehicles on these roads since December 1979. During one 18-month period, three panthers were killed. One of the animals was a female, carrying four fetuses. Making this a matter of considerable urgency is the fact that plans have been implemented to widen Alligator Alley. State Highway 29 has already been widened. Special measures were included in the plans for improving the safety of both these highways for motorists as well as for the panthers and other wildlife. Several of the radio-tagged animals currently under study often cross these highways. Deterioration of the quality of its remaining habitat is the major threat to the continued existence of the Florida panther. Portions of the 570,000-acre Big Cypress Preserve that are inhabited by panthers represent the wildest, least accessible land remaining in South Florida. Although the surface area of the preserve is publicly owned, it is important to note that the mineral rights remain in private ownership. Substantial quantities of oil appear to underlie these lands. It is possible to tap this valuable natural resource without harming the panther in the process, but it will require sensitive, cooperative action to do so. The very primitiveness of the area poses a threat to its preservation because its pristine beauty is a lure to many recreationists to see and experience. Use by the public was an important consideration in the purchase of the Big Cypress Preserve. It is essential, however, to recognize that the level of such use must be compatible with other values of the land and controlled accordingly. This fact is particularly acute in view of the accelerating rate of human growth in Florida. In addition to efforts to manage panthers in South Florida, the Florida Game and Freshwater Fish Commission has made a commitment to reintroduce Florida panthers into suitable areas within the state. Successfully introducing panthers into such areas would help reduce the risk of extinction for the subspecies. This project is divided into four phases. 1. Determine where areas of suitable habitat exist. 2. Determine the feasibility of using captive-raised offspring in the reestablishment of panther populations. 3. Determine the possibility of using translocated wild panthers in the reestablishment of the subspecies. And 4. Introduce Florida panthers into unoccupied areas where feasible. The captive breeding portion of the project has been initiated with the construction of a captive breeding facility at the White Oak Plantation near Yulee, Florida. A male panther, captured as a result of injuries sustained when a car struck him in 1984, was the first Florida cat to be used in the captive breeding program. The panther, like many other wildlife species, can tolerate some human activity in its range. Being a wilderness species, however, there are definite limits to the amount of such activity with which it can successfully cope. Until we have a much better understanding of this animal, its needs, and its relationship to man, history dictates caution in any decisions that may affect the panther and the wildlands in which it lives. The Florida panther is dependent on vast natural areas for its survival. If we lose these primitive areas, we will also lose the panther. Saving the state animal will be no easy task, but most Floridians feel it will be well worthwhile because, to do so, we must also preserve our own human quality of life.